Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit View, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact through their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit View on Facebook and Twitter, and I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags The Law Project, PLP, or Social Enterprise. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_you. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. And in order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account. And you'll find a link to open the account on the episode page. So if you are listening 9 times out of 10, you are looking at our episode page now. And you can also email me questions at consulting@valeriefleonard.com or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. We'll be taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark. Again, the call-in number is 347-884-8121. Today's episode is Legal Structures for Social Enterprise. We'll discuss social enterprises, the various legal structures, and the pros and cons of each. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and participate in live chat at about the 20-minute mark, and the call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals, educators, and community stakeholders are especially encouraged to call in and share your stories. Our guest for today is attorney Erica Spangler-Raz. She's a staff attorney with the Law Project, and she works primarily in the nonprofit support program. She's counseled hundreds of nonprofit organizations and regularly presents seminars on board responsibilities and fiduciary duties, startup nonprofit business planning, income tax exemption, financial distress and dissolution, and general nonprofit governance and compliance to community groups, nonprofit consultants, and attorneys. In addition to active participation in the Chicago Bar Association committees, Erica is also a member of the Northwest Suburban Bar Association and chaired its corporate and business committee for 3 years. Prior to her legal career, Erica managed marketing communications for a financial software firm, and Erica is a graduate of Marquette University and received her law degree from DePaul University. You'll find a full bio for Erica and a link to the Law Project on my blog, Nonprofit U, under episode 39, Legal Structures for Social Enterprise. Go to valeriefleonard.com/nonprofit U and click onto the episodes page. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Erica. It's indeed an honor to have you. Before we get started,
Yes.
She's like, I finally get a chance to say something.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, that's what you get for being so accomplished. I had a lot to say about you, lady.
You make it sound so nice.
But it is. I mean, you've done a lot, a whole lot in a young life, and I'm looking forward to the rest of your life, right? So, can you tell us about the Law Project and how you came to work for them?
Sure. So, again, Valerie, thank you so much for having me on. I am indeed honored as well to be on your show. So a little bit about the Law Project. We are a program or project of a larger organization called the Chicago Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, and our program provides pro bono legal services to three types of clients. So the first one is community-based nonprofits, which is how you and I kind of connected a while back. But we've also We also provide pro bono legal services to small businesses and first-time home buyers. So our project, not the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, but our project was founded 25 years ago. Actually, I think 26.
Wow.
No, actually 30 years ago. We just had our 30th anniversary, so I'm probably noting from something else here.
Mm-hmm.
30 years ago that, you know, these smaller nonprofits didn't have the financial resources to pay for counsel, and the Lawyers Committee, the Chicago Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, had access to the law firms that had volunteer attorneys with this expertise. So we do some of the work in-house, and some of the work we recruit volunteer attorneys to do that. And it's transactional legal services to the nonprofits
mm-hmm.
and the small businesses and first-time home buyers. So that means that it's not disputes or litigation, those types of things. It's mostly obtaining 501c3 status and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, get in, get out.
And we have several. Yeah, and we have
out.
Right, and so we have that direct representation, and then we also
mm-hmm.
have several workshops. So we have one for nonprofit founders, and we have another workshop series for boards, you know, nonprofit boards of organizations,
mm-hmm.
and with the 501c3 status already for our Nonprofit Compliance Institute.
Oh, okay, great. And how did you come to work for them?
So this is a little probably less interesting than it would seem. So I know you've had Angie Hall on your show before. So at the
mm-hmm.
time, and it was about 10 years ago, I was working for another organization, and I saw this volunteer opportunity to represent first-time home buyers, and I really
mm-hmm.
wanted to volunteer because I remember
okay.
how stressful it was when I bought my first home. So in my meeting with Angie to volunteer, because she had to vet me as a volunteer, so to speak, you
mm-hmm.
know, like we do for our
yeah,
volunteers,
great.
I told her about my experience representing nonprofits because I had to admit that I had never done a real estate closing as an attorney at the time. You know, I'd only gone through my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, you should apply for our nonprofit attorney position. And so I did. And here I am. So that's kind of how I got started.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a funny story, and you're right. It's so unlike what we – well, I'll put it like this. It's so unlike what I would have expected. But I think it's good, too, because I think what you recognize is the fact that you can't really go where you haven't been. You know, and I think she could see that you've just gone through this experience yourself and coupled that with other experiences. And she probably said, this lady would be perfect for the job, and I feel that way myself, you know, just – observing you from afar off. You're a very quick study, quick on your feet, and very thorough. So I think that was really good judgment on Angie's part, and you're still here. That's
yeah.
wonderful.
And after I was hired, she did let me do a real estate closing. So that was nice.
Oh, that's great.
So,
that's great.
Yeah.
So for me, typically when I think of a social enterprise, I think of a nonprofit business that's operating a for-profit subsidiary. And, you know, and quite frankly, that's the end of the story. I don't think very much about it. Never was involved with one. And as I was preparing for this show, I was very, very surprised to learn that there are several legal structures from which to choose, and no one size fits all, and then it seems to me that this is really not for everyone. So can you give us a brief overview of some of the most common alternative structures?
Sure. And so, Valerie, I would say, you know, you're not alone. There's a lot of folks in the nonprofit sector who think that, you know, this has to be a social enterprise is a nonprofit that has a for-profit business. But really, when you think about social enterprise, you know, those two words, you know, there's a social purpose that could be charitable,
mm-hmm.
educational, environmental. And then there's
mm-hmm.
the other word, the enterprise, and that has that business or a commercial connotation. So we're putting these two purposes together. And so
mm-hmm.
And I do want to mention that what you said is that not every nonprofit is going to be able to do a social enterprise. So it's for those that are thinking about it, because it's just not, it's not the model for everyone. There's not one size mm-hmm. that fits all. It may be that a nonprofit is going to do really well staying in its nonprofit structure, and that's, you know, the base of my clients anyway. You know, the majority of my clients are nonprofits. But going back to the social enterprise concept is that it's really a business concept. It's not a legal one. So mm-hmm. we're actually having a workshop on May 11th that okay. I mentioned to you earlier. So we're having a free workshop on May 11th, and I can give you the information for how to register. It's noon to 1:30 p.m., and it's at one of the law firms who wrote a publication for us about legal structures for social enterprises, that we can go through each of the legal structures in more detail in that workshop and webinar. But mm-hmm. to answer your question, you kind of want to think about these legal structures along a continuum. So on one side, we're going to have the nonprofit with 501c3 status. And many of us know that charities, they can charge fees for services, and they can also mm-hmm. do some business activities within the nonprofit itself. So we tend to think about those as like enterprising nonprofits or nonprofit okay. revenue generation programs, right? And uh-huh. and so that's great. But so that is a social enterprise in and of itself too, because you're combining the social purpose and the business activity as well. So nonprofits mm-hmm. or social enterprises can have 501c3 status, okay? On the mm-hmm. other side of that continuum, we're going to be those strict for-profit structures. Okay, those are going to be the corporations okay. and the LLCs. And in the middle, okay. that's where there's a lot more flexibility. So the middle has what I'll refer to as these hybrid for-profit single legal structures. That means it's one entity that has some combination of those two purposes, the social and the business. So in Illinois, we have, and it's varied state by state, but in Illinois, mm-hmm. we have the L3C, and we also mm-hmm. have the benefit corporation. So these are for-profit businesses with social purposes. So in okay. a nutshell, the L3C is the take on the LLC, and the benefit mm-hmm. corporation is a take on corporations. And also in the middle, like you had mentioned, and which I think a lot of people have in the back of their mind, is that when we use more than one entity, so we have a nonprofit mm-hmm. with a for-profit subsidiary. But sometimes the for-profit entity is not a subsidiary of the nonprofit, but it may have a different relationship. It may have overlapping boards or some other type mm-hmm. of relationship. Sometimes the mm-hmm. for-profit subsidiary will be one of those hybrid entities. Maybe the subsidiary is an L3C. You know, so we want to mm-hmm. want to think about, there's a lot of flexibility that's out there. So we can go through all of those, because it would take an hour to go through all the different structures. But just a high level overview, I think that, you know, you can kind of think of it as, you know, this is a business concept, and think of it along kind of a continuum.
I gotcha. This is really, really interesting stuff. And if you don't mind, I will also include on this page a link to the publication that you,
oh, sure.
you shared with me before. I thought that was really
oh, sure.
interesting stuff. And you're right, it is pretty intense. But, you know, not to get discouraged, because I think what the law firm does and what you have just done is, you have translated something that's very, very complex into very plain English. So I really, really appreciate that. I'm like, wow, that's great. She's an attorney who can speak English. that was a mean thing to say.
Yeah, yeah.
People talk about me terribly because, you know, I'm one of those people who've never met a word that I didn't like. So I get it. But I like the way you broke that down, because there was no way, after looking at the different charts, that I could think of, you know, breaking that down so simply. So I really, really do appreciate that.
Oh, well, glad to help.
Okay, good. So when we speak about governance in a nutshell, we're basically looking at a set of policies and systems that an organization puts in place to make decisions, they monitor the operations, and they maintain accountability. So when you look at the various structures, governance is going to be a huge consideration in, first of all, making the decision as to whether or not to go into a social enterprise, but also deciding which structure is best. So can you, you know, from a governance standpoint, describe some of the differences that one might take into consideration as we move from one legal structure to another?
Sure. And, you know, I'd have to agree with you that governance is a just a huge consideration for social entrepreneurs. So I can go through just kind of a high level. Starting with, I'll start with the way it's easiest to explain first rather than going to back to the continuum. But so for LLCs and L3Cs, so the L3C is that hybrid structure of the LLC, there are members, and those are the owners. So typically, these are member-managed. They don't have to be, but they typically are member-managed so that the owners are making the decisions. So any decision-making is done, you know, at that level, and the governance is done, and the accountability, all of that is at that level. The organizational documents, they outline those restrictions for what decisions can be made. And there's flexibility because most of the time for LLCs and L3Cs, there's a lot of flexibility because they're contract-based, so it's really negotiating. Say two people are going into business together, or two companies are going to, say two nonprofits are going to launch a social enterprise, and they want to launch an L3C. Well, it's contract-based, so they can negotiate a lot of it, as opposed to the other structures which are more statute or law-based. So going on to so those are the LLCs and the L3Cs. There's a lot of flexibility in that type of governance. For the corporation structures, those are the C corporations, the benefit corporations, or even, you know, as you're familiar with, the nonprofit corporations or not-for-profit corporations in Illinois. So the governance is, a lot of it is statute-based. So, and I think that most of your audience would be familiar with this structure. So for-profit corporations have shareholders, and those are the owners of the business. The owners typically, so the shareholders, they typically elect the directors. Okay. Now, in nonprofit corporations, as you know, there are no owners. and that's because the nonprofits have to benefit the public. Right. So we're more familiar with that, but I think it's easier to explain a corporation to someone who has nonprofit experience because that's the structure. So anyway, all corporations have boards of directors and they have officers, and usually they're volunteers in nonprofits. But basically the directors as a whole, they govern the business, they maintain their accountability. And, you know, in the absence of like, hired staff, then the officers run the day-to-day operation. So, you know, just like a nonprofit corporation that has no hired executive director, then it's the officers who are running the organization. But the statute says that the boards have to have annual meetings. They have to keep minutes. They have to keep records. So that's all based on corporation law. So those are, that's how the governance is of a corporation. When there are related nonprofit and for-profit entities, it gets a little bit trickier because each entity has to maintain its independence. And so you may have heard this, and you know, like we always, you know, these lawyers are always cautioning the charities that you need to be able to prove that you are distinct from this other business. It has to have separate records, separate meetings. If there are shared employees, for example, if one employee works for both the for-profit and the nonprofit, there are timesheets, you know, you know, keeping all the records separate. The business cannot benefit from the nonprofit, right? If there's overlap in, you know, another example, if there's overlap in boards, and that's often the case, then they'll need to, and if they need to contract, you know, have a legal contract, you know, with each other, those two entities, and that is often the case, then you have to follow conflicts of interest policies. You know, there's other mechanisms that are in place. You also, when we have these multiple entities that are related, you have to make sure that there is not 100% overlap in the governance. you know, because in order to follow that conflict of interest policy, there needs to be some people who are independent who can make those decisions. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, for a startup, this is a big drawback. It's hard enough to recruit good, skilled directors, you know, from the get-go. So, you know, there is that. So that's basically the high-level governance overview.
Oh, I love it. And like I said, I just love the way you just make it plain.
Well, thank you.
Okay. So does the structure of the social enterprise matter, you know, when it comes to raising capital for the business? And if so, can you share ways that structure impacts the types of financing the organization can go after?
The structure of the social enterprise matter for financing. It does a little bit. So, so let's go for a nonprofit, right? You know, we know that nonprofits can do fundraising. They're one of these that are really unique because they can raise charitable contributions from individuals, right?
So
a lot of times that's why if, you know, based on a business plan, if the social enterprise can be viable and sustainable as a 501c3, it's not relying on grants, often that's a preferred structure. It doesn't mean you have to rely on it, but often that is the case. It's just it's sometimes hard for that to work, you know, from a business perspective, not necessarily from a legal one. But grants, as you know, they're contract-based donations in the, you know, in a nutshell, right, from private foundations. So the charity does this good work according to the grant contract, and if they do the good work, then they don't have to pay the money back to the private foundation. But private foundations, they don't have to just give out grants like charities are used to. They can give program-related investments, or PRIs, if you've ever heard of that word. So they can give out PRIs instead of or in addition to grants. And typically, a program-related investment is a loan. So nonprofits, as you know, and most of your audience knows those sources, nonprofits cannot provide equity, so because they have no owners, right? They can't give an ownership stake because that doesn't work.
Right.
So in a for-profit, you know, equity is given, so equity is ownership. So think of that like Shark Tank, you know. I don't know who the guy is, but he's like, I'll give $500,000 for, you know, 30% ownership, but usually they want like 51% or something like that. But for the numbers are a lot smaller, right? But anyway, that's equity. And so that's usually given in a for-profit. And, you know, conversely, you know that in a for-profit, there's no charitable contributions, right? They're rarely eligible to receive grants, so that's kind of charitable contributions kind of throw out the window if you're going a for-profit. And then you have the so you have equity, and then you have debt. And so debt is usually a loan that has to be paid back. So and these are all for all the for-profit structures, including the hybrid ones. So one of the one of the main reasons that the L3C statute was created was that so it's easier and doesn't make it like smooth sailing entirely, but that it's easier for private foundations to provide program-related investments to for-profit LLCs. So they adopt the L3C language. So that is, you know, one of the sources that I think, you know, most social entrepreneurs that I work with that are coming from the business sector, they're not looking for PRIs because they have really very little understanding as to how private foundations work. Some of those from the nonprofit sector, they kind of have their relationships with private foundations. So they're interested in learning about program-related investments and which private foundations are the ones that are giving program-related investments, because not all of them are. Even if all of them can, it's kind of dependent. So, but certainly from a, you know, source of financing or where the funds are coming from, you know, there's a lot of flexibility because, you know, the equity from the for-profit standpoint, you know, like Shark Tank, you know, somebody, some some investor. they may be inclined to give you some funds for a stake in ownership, and mm-hmm. they love the fact that there is a social purpose. You know,
oh, okay.
So a lot of it is, you know, raising capital can also be, you know, what's available. You know, where are the relationships
right.
with the founders, right?
Right.
So that's an
right.
aspect too.
Okay. That's
does that answer?
Very good. Yes, very much so. I just want to let our audience know that you're listening to Nonprofit U, and we have attorney Erica Spangler-Raz as our guest. We'll now take questions from our callers in chat room, and our call-in number is 347-884-8121. Again, our call-in number is 347-884-8121. And I see that we have a guest in the chat room. If you have any questions, you are free to type them in. And as we wait for people to call and chat, we can continue with our discussion, Erica. So that brings me to another question. What exactly is a B corporation, and how is it different from other structures, so to speak, and even if it is a structure in and of itself?
So that's a good question, and I'm glad you asked it because it brings up something that is often misunderstood, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the distinction between, because you said B corporation, and so there's a distinction
mm-hmm.
between B corp and benefit corporation. So first, a B corp is a social enterprise certification that's awarded
okay.
by B Labs, and B Labs is a 501c3. Okay, so it's a certification
mm-hmm.
that's awarded by another nonprofit to say that your social enterprise is indeed accomplishing some social purpose and there is some transparency, even though
okay.
it's probably a for-profit. But in reality, any social enterprise structure could apply for the certification if it meets the
mm-hmm.
B Labs requirements. So it could be an LLC and applying to get the B Corp certification. So that's not to be confused
okay.
with a benefit corporation. So a benefit corporation is a corporation
mm-hmm.
just like we talked about with C Corps and NFP Corps. It's similar to that, and it has limited liability. It has boards, board of directors and officers. And like a C Corp, it has shareholders, so there's owners. And it has that second purpose, right? So it has the
mm-hmm.
the business purpose for generating profits that's going to distribute to the owners, the shareholders. But it also has that second purpose, and that is to create a public benefit. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and so what's unique about benefit corporations is that the board has to designate a benefit director, like in the statute, and that
mm-hmm.
benefit
oh, wow.
director it has to report to the board on how the company is accomplishing its general public benefit. So, and that report is open to the public. So, a benefit corporation is basically, you know, it's a for-profit corporation. It has shareholders. It has a nonprofit and a for-profit purpose. And the accomplishment of the benefit purpose is transparent,
mm-hmm.
like a nonprofit. So,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of new. It's probably only been in Illinois for a year and a half or 2 years. I think it was enacted
wow.
in January. Maybe it was 2013.
Okay. Wow, that is pretty new. So I want to give folks one more opportunity. Again, we're here talking with attorney Erica Spangler-Raz. She's from the Law Project. If you have any questions, you know, regarding social enterprise or legal structures, please give us a call. That number is 347-884-8121. And if you're in the chat room and have questions, feel free to type it out, and we can share it with our listening audience and obviously have Erica to respond. Okay, so we've got one final question. And, you know, based on, I guess, your experience, you know, in the law dealing with organizations, nonprofits as well as for-profits, what are some of the lessons that you've learned or observed along the way that might help others who are considering starting a social enterprise?
I would say, that's really good. I would say never underestimate the importance of business planning. So,
wow.
I'm sure that you run into this with your nonprofit consulting practice. You know, say you
yes,
have
yes.
somebody who wants to start a nonprofit, but they haven't done a needs assessment, and so you need to help them with that. And
yes,
and so it's
yes,
really
yes.
it's really the same. It's the same for social
that's
enterprises.
That's what like Lawndale when we have
right.
200. Okay.
Right. So it's not unusual for me to get a call from someone who says I'm starting an L3C. And I need help with the paperwork. And, you know, at TLP, and frankly, any attorney that's worth their salt is going to ask, how do you know that that's the right legal structure for this business? And maybe it is. We've had a couple where after they can answer the questions, it's right. It does make sense. But any attorney is always going to apply the law to the business plan. We don't say, I'm going to start a benefit corporation, and how can I get financing? And I always want to say, let's back up. How is your social enterprise going to get financing? Because based on your research and your business planning, where are the opportunities for you as a social entrepreneur? Where are the opportunities based on your relationships? Where are the opportunities for financing? And what's the likelihood of success for getting that financing for this venture? And we can figure out the legal structure based on that. But I don't want the legal structure to limit the opportunities for capital if the social entrepreneurs, like whether that's a nonprofit or whether it's a for-profit, you're, you know, a small business entrepreneur who is starting a social enterprise. We don't want that. We don't want the law to limit that business aspect.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to work with what is meant, you know, what's going to work best for the business to make it viable and sustainable. We want our clients to succeed. So I would say, the biggest lesson learned is don't underestimate the importance of that planning process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is excellent. Okay, it doesn't look like we're going to get any callers or questions from the chat room. So, again, I want to let folks know that they're listening to Nonprofit You, and attorney Erica Spangler-Rass is our guest. She is with the Law Project in Chicago. And we've come to the end of our show, and I'd like to thank her for being our guest today. So, Erica, would you care to share any parting thoughts and tell us how we can reach you? And you probably can include a little bit more information about your upcoming event on May 11th.
Sure. Well, again, thank you so much for having me on Nonprofit You. If any of your listeners are interested in more information about social enterprise, I would encourage you to register for our workshop on May 11th, 12 noon until 1:30 p.m. We have an in-person option at Kirkland & Ellis, 300 North LaSalle. And we also have what I like to call the Eat at Your Desk live webinar option. And you can register for that as well online, and we'll send the information to Valerie to distribute. For any of the nonprofits that are exploring the launch of a social enterprise and you need pro bono legal assistance exploring this option or this stage, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm at 312-939-3638. Or you can visit our website at www.thelawproject.org.
Awesome. All righty.
Well,
thank you. I want to thank you for listening to Nonprofit You Blog Radio Talk Show. The show will be available for download within about an hour. And be sure to tune in next week when our guest will be Shelby Parchman. He's the Director of Programs for Sunshine Enterprises. So I'm looking forward to yet another lively discussion next week, and I think it'll probably tie in very well to what we just discussed with Erica.
I think so.
Until then. All right. So until then, I will talk to you next week. Take care, and thanks again, Erica.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.